Hello, fantasy managers. Welcome back to another episode of the First Pitch Podcast, part of the Pitchless Podcast Network. My name is Carson Picard. I'll be your host for this weekend edition of the pod, taking over from Jake. Let's get into everything baseball related from Thursday, August 13th. Couple injury notes, as always, to start off with. Jacob DeGrom left his start yesterday with right triceps fatigue. No word on if there's going to be any extended time missed, but the ace, kind of, for the Texas Rangers is at least going to miss a decent amount, or just something to monitor, I should say. Hunter Green is going to miss a lot of time. We already knew that he was going to go under the knife, at least to some extent. He was going to miss time and the rest of the season. He also will likely miss the rest of next season. Second Tommy John surgery for Hunter Green. It is going to be, well, now pretty much two seasons where he is going to throw, I think, all of about 20 innings. And it is very concerning. Now, Tommy John surgery has gotten a lot better, and especially after Justin Verlander came back, won a Cy Young at the age of, what, 39, 40? I think a lot of concerns many of us has had with Tommy John surgery have all but gone away. Nevertheless, it is still very concerning for a guy so dependent on velocity, so dependent on the effectiveness of that fastball. Hunter Green, for all you dynasty managers out there, well, basically, I'm sorry. Bryce Turang has gone as out of the lineup due to left knee pain, and Garrett Whitlock on the 15-day IL for right elbow inflammation. The couple rehab start and recovery updates I have for you. Both Carlos Rodon has made a rehab appearance, and Joe Musgrove will make one today as they are looking to rejoin their respective rotations shortly. And lastly, Byron Buxton has been activated from the injured list as he played in the Field of Dreams game, which we'll talk about in just a moment. But we now move on to the notable performances, and I will give my hitter of the day. And by total bases, he didn't have the best day. But I want to say that Brandon Marsh should be Brandon Mays instead, because my goodness, he was the king of the corn in Iowa. He went 2-for-2 with a home run, a pair of walks, and a stolen base to be productive in all categories. If you're in an average league, he was doing that. If you were looking for RBI, he was doing that. If you're looking for stolen base walks, he was doing that. Brent Marsh, an absolutely fantastic day. And you know what? I think I absolutely have to give him credit here where it is due. His teammate also did really well. Kyle Schwarber, 2-for-5 with a pair of home runs, one of which just went off of Luke Kuechel's glove. Ryan Jeffers went 2-for-3 with a walk. The aforementioned Kuechel went 2-for-3, a home run of his own and a walk. He's hitting .323 since July with a 5 home runs in that stretch as well. Not too bad for a guy that usually doesn't have a lot of pop. Moving on, Chase DeLauder went 2-for-4 with a stolen base. Tyler Stevenson, 2-for-3 with a home run and a walk. Sal Stewart, 2-for-3 with a home run and a walk, as well as the Reds had some mirrored production. Chase Mindroth goes 2-for-3, a pair of doubles and a pair of walks. Brandon Montgomery went 0-for-2, but had 3 walks to make his on-base percentage pretty dang nice for the day. Rafael Flores went 2-for-5 with a pair of home runs, one of which was off of Javier Sanoja, a position player. But nevertheless, the Pirates' young catcher doing some nice work. Caleb Durbin goes 3-for-5 with a home run. He is hitting .327 since the All-Star break. Albimelech Ortiz, 2-for-4 with a home run. The young Nationals prospect doing some work. Moving on, Mike Trout went 3-for-5 with a home run. And finally, Andrew Vaughn, a crucial 2-for-3 and 2 walk day for the Brewers. Check out the Daily Batters Box article for more information on all these hitters and then some. I'm going to take a short break and I'll come back with my starting pitching, the reliever report, and a preview of today's games. See you in a bit. Welcome back to the First Pitch Podcast. We now move on to talk about the starting pitching performances from yesterday. The most notable arms on the mound. Braxton Ashcraft is the man. My pitcher of the day, he was fantastic. 9 innings, 1 earned run, 3 hits, 1 walk, 10 strikeouts. And here's the kicker, folks. He didn't just do it in double digits. He did it in 85 pitches. That is the fifth fewest pitches in a 9-inning complete game since 2010. And actually, I ended up looking this up. Since 1947, in the integration era, there have been 55 performances where a pitcher has thrown 9 innings in fewer recorded pitches than Braxton Ashcroft did. And listen, that's a lot of times that's happened. The fewest, by the way, 76, which was done in, I believe, 2007, which is crazy. But outstanding performance. It's an outstanding performance. 10 whiffs, 41 CSW percent. The home run, by the way, was allowed in the 9th inning. Thank you, Owen Kiese, for that. Braxton Ashcroft was fantastic. Didn't really seem to have the stuff working too much differently. It wasn't like he was suddenly tossing 99 or sitting 99 for that matter. Just did really well all throughout and an absolutely fantastic performance. Roki Sasaki went 6 innings, 2 earned runs, 4 hits, 2 strikeouts, 101 pitches, and the control issues have returned. 5 walks, and from that, he is really fortunate that it didn't blow up more. 12 whiffs, 26 CSW percent, was able to avoid a lot of really crooked numbers being put up against him. But for Roki, a rough outing, a decent one from the ERA standpoint, but certainly from the home run to, or for you FIP lovers out there, basically, not great. Cade Cavalli went 8 innings, no earned runs, 1 hit, 2 walks, 10 strikeouts on 103 pitches. 14 whiffs, 34 CSW percent. The velo was up, depending on the pitch you looked at, either 1 or 2 ticks. Great start. Absolutely great start. The fastball effectiveness still is wavering. It is very dependent on the velocity really being there. It's one of those that its shape is not excellent. But if you throw it hard enough, none of that really seems to matter. And Cavalli sitting in the high 90s, 98 in this particular start, really going to make things work. Peyton Tolley went 8 innings. A lot of long outings from pitchers yesterday. 8 innings, no earned runs, 2 hits, 2 walks, 4 strikeouts, 91 pitches, 6 whiffs, 23 CSW percent. Weirdly mediocre from a whiff perspective, but still another excellent outing as the Red Sox have just a lot of young arms cooking. Max Scherzer. Yeah, didn't think I'd talk about Max Scherzer much for notable pitchers, but Max Scherzer goes 5 innings, 1 earned run, 3 hits, 2 walks, 4 strikeouts on 92 pitches, gets 12 whiffs, Mad Max does, 32 CSW percent. And the most notable moment of this start was right after the first inning. He tosses his 3,000th inning. And I want to talk about this for a moment because this is very notable for many reasons. In other words, Max Scherzer has retired 9,000 batters, which is crazy. But not only is this incredibly impressive, and he joins a fairly exclusive club for modern pitchers, Max Scherzer is, in all likelihood, going to be the last pitcher ever to throw 3,000 innings. There's been a lot of things regarding like pitching leaderboards and how we historically measure milestones for pitcher wins and innings and strikeouts, and like these things are going to fundamentally change very soon, and I think there's going to be a adjustment we have to make in our evaluation of pitchers, because I'm just pulling up the innings pitch, the active leaders. It's Verlander at 3,500, it's Scherzer at 3,000 now, and then it goes to Chris Sale at 2,200. And there are an active 8 pitchers with 2,000 innings, most of them just at or just over the 2,000 inning mark. I mean, Aaron Nola and Zach Wheeler might get to 2,000 innings. That's how we're talking about. 3,000? If you're trying to ask Garrett Cole to throw another 1,000 innings, what do you guys think on that bet? I think it is extremely unlikely. Maybe if he has a crazy late career, but Cole's already 35. He's already had some Tommy John, and that's to say nothing about newer pitchers that are coming up. Even some of these veterans like are getting to this point. They might retire with like 2,500. Yeah, I don't know what you would expect. Like Paul Skeens is the best because he started so young, but pitcher milestones basically are going to wildly change. And I just want to acknowledge, you know, Max Scherzer, congratulations on reaching a milestone. It maybe no one will ever reach again. And finally, Logan Gilbert goes 6 innings, no earned runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, 7 Ks, 95 pitches, 15 lifts, 31 CSW percent. The fastball up a tick. Gilbert's had some weird starts lately, and this just shows that, yeah, he's still that guy. He's still that big, long, excellent pitcher. And another excellent start and another win for the pitch modelers out there, showing you that he's still got the stuff to make it work. And it was a Thursday, which means there aren't a ton of pitchers to talk about. So we now move on to the reliever report, but we'll do that. But first, before I do that, make sure to give the Plus Pitch podcast and a listen and check out Nick and Jake's daily SB Roundup for more information on all those starting pitchers I just mentioned and then some. We move on to the reliever report, and I tell you who saved it and who blew it. Kenley Jansen saved it. 15 saves, 491 on his career. He is still cooking at his old age. Andres Munoz picks up his 21st save of the year for the Seattle Mariners. Julian Garcia picks up his second save of the year for the Cincinnati Reds. And Trevor Megill picks up his second save of the year. Hey, how do you get that situation? Well, because Edwin Diaz is the unfortunate recipient of the Who Blew It honor, dishonor rather. Got 2 batters out, 4 hits, 3 earned runs, and he allows the winning run. Well, he doesn't actually allow it. It is technically Alex Bestia who allows it, but nevertheless, the Brewers are going to be able to take the lead and win this one 5-4 in the ninth. Diaz has an ERA of 11.57 right now. And listen, I know that it's a fairly small sample with Diaz. A lot of the metrics are actually generally favorable on him, but the fastball velocity is below 97. What do you want me to say, man? His BABIP's high. Sure, the home run to fly ball rate's fairly high. We know this. But Diaz has now had several starts where he's just not been reliable. I think he's going to be fine. I think I have to still trust everything. But we also know that Edwin Diaz has been fairly volatile season to season in his effectiveness. This was true on the Mets. This was true on the Mariners. So for Diaz, I don't know. I really don't. This could be absolutely nothing. This could be like really major issues. So what have you. Anyway, if you want to hear better opinions on Edwin Diaz's struggles, check out Rick Graham's weekly articles for more information. We now look forward to today's slate of games. Full slate of games here. The Mariners and the Astros is the first one I want to highlight. It is George Kirby versus Lambert. The Padres at the Guardians, Michael King versus Gavin Williams. And the Red Sox at the Pirates, it is Bennett versus Bubba Chandler. But my game of the day is going to be the Marlins at the Reds. A couple of teams under 500, but it's Sandy Alcantara versus Chase Burns. Some fast and effective pitching going to be going on there in Cincy. That's going to be my game of the day, and that's going to be the First Pitch podcast today. For deeper dive on everything baseball, hop on to pitcherlist.com for further access. Sign up for PL Plus or PL Pro to gain access to the Discord, PL the apps to support the Pitcher List staff. And finally, my name is Carson McCard. You can find me on the First Pitch on the Shallows podcast with my great host, Eric Henriksen, as well as on the website, formerly known as Twitter, at Carson McCard PL. Thanks for listening. Good luck with the rest of your weeks. Bless the knees, bless the elbows. Take care, you guys.